Anthony Art, and I'm a PhD student at the University of Alaska in the Geophysical Institute. And my supervisor is Keith Eckelmeyer, and I'm working on this laser altimeter study with him.
This sounds good. Everything's coming through nicely here. I appreciate that. A couple of questions that, and I'll ask some questions that, of course, I already asked of Keith, but a couple of other questions for you that I didn't ask Keith about was whether or not you guys were able to determine sort of overall some volume of ice that has been lost cumulatively among these glaciers. Is there some neat figure that that you guys are been able to come up with for the total loss of mass and of ice?
Well, we're expressing the losses that we've calculated for all the glaciers in Alaska as a rate. So we have the two different time periods that we've measured, and we express the volume changes as a rate of volume change per year. And we see that that rate has changed between this earlier period and the more recent period in the past decade or so. So I actually don't have if I multiplied that number by the total number of years, we would get a total massive loss of ice that was lost over that period.
Right, right. Do you recall what the rate is then?
Well, the rate for the period of the mid-50s to the mid-90s is about 52 cubic kilometers per year. So if you multiply that by about 40, let's see what you would get here.
It sounds like a lot.
Yeah, about 2,000 cubic kilometers over a 40-year period. So that's a lot of ice to lose.
2,000 cubic kilometers. And if I remember my grade school math, that's 2,000 kilometers on all four sides.
That's right.
And where is that meltwater going? I presume it's going into the ocean eventually.
Yeah. It melts, you know, and goes into the rivers and then eventually gets to the oceans. And, of course, all of that meltwater then causes the sea level to go up, you know. And that's a big concern. And one of the big issues in this study is trying to figure out what is the contribution of all the glaciers in Alaska to sea level rise. And it turns out that the estimates that we had in the past from other studies were quite a bit lower than what we're estimating in this study. Past studies only had data from about three or four glaciers in Alaska. These were conventional measurements done by hand on the ground. So when you just go and you fly to a glacier, set up a marker pole, and you measure how the height of that glacier changes through time. And you can only do that on a small number of glaciers because it's quite costly. It takes a lot of time. And so there just wasn't a lot of data available for these types of measurements in the past. And from those measurements, there were estimates of sea level contribution of Alaska glaciers. And they turned out to be quite a bit smaller than what we're finding in this study. We're seeing that our estimates show about a 0.14 millimeter per year rise in sea level due to the melting of glaciers in Alaska during this 50 or 40-year period. And then in the last decade or so, we're seeing about 0.27 millimeters per year of sea level rise. So that rate has gone up quite a bit in the last decade.
And that's just the contribution of Alaska?
That's correct.
Right, right. Not including large volumes like Antarctica or Greenland, that sort of thing.
Right.
Wow. That's still pretty significant.
The current rate of sea level rise, as estimated by other scientists, is thought to be around 1.5 millimeters per year. So we're seeing that Alaska is contributing, say, 0.1 to 0.2 millimeters per year of that sea level rise.
Wow. Wow. Now, when it comes to these melting glaciers specifically, is the entire surface melting more or less at an equal or thinning at more or less an equal rate, or does that thinning seem to be more prevalent near the face or near the back of the glacier? Is there any insight on that?
Yeah, most of the thinning on a particular glacier happens at lower elevations, and that's just something that when you go hiking in the mountains, you experience that lower down it's warmer. As you climb to higher elevation, it tends to be cooler, and that's the same kind of pattern that you see on a glacier with the thinning that we're observing. Generally, we see most of the thinning at the terminus or the lower part of a glacier, and then as you progress higher up, the thinning curve sort of levels off to zero or even slightly positive, where there tends to be more snow accumulation than there is melt. So it's a fairly consistent pattern that we see. It's sort of an exponential curve of a lot of thinning lower down and then leveling off to not much thinning higher at higher elevations.
Mm, yeah, well, I guess that would be what you'd expect. What's next in this process? What's your next plan here to continue this work?
Well, I think it's like Keith was talking about, to try and see what are causing these patterns that we're seeing. Why Why is there an increase in the thinning rates in the last decade or so? Is this due just to a normal cycle of climate, or is there something else that's going on? And figuring out, are there similarities in the thinning among different regions of Alaska, or is it, you know, what are these thinning rates related to? So that's an important question that we need to answer in this study.
Yeah. Do you recall, well, obviously you'll recall what your particular role in this study was. Did you get the glory job of flying along with the pilot and using the equipment?
I did. This project has been going on for actually almost 10 years, and so Keith and others sort of in the earlier days developed the entire system, and then various students and technicians would be involved with flying in the plane with Keith and running all the equipment in the back seat. So I came on this project just a couple of years ago and learned how to run the equipment and had the great experience of flying with Keith and flying around various glaciers in Alaska, sitting in the back seat of the plane running the equipment. So that's been a real highlight for me as part of my involvement in the project. And then also, of course, helping to put this paper together and crunching the numbers and trying to figure out the big picture.
I'll bet the views were quite spectacular.
They were. It's been an incredible experience. It was one of the big reasons for me to come up to Alaska is to try and take part in this project and get some great photos from the back of the plane, see some amazing places in Alaska.
Now this data that you take, these altimeter readings, I assume you're taking many thousands of readings. Do they then go into some kind of a computer model to generate some sort of, I don't know, some sort of 3D impression of the glacier and how it might be formed and melting?
It's not a 3D model, but there are a lot of numbers that we get out of the measurements from the plane, and then these go back to the lab, and we have a couple of technicians who then run these numbers through various. We have computer models to combine the numbers together to get an elevation change, and of course those numbers are then compared to the maps that Keith talked about, the USGS maps. So it's not a fancy 3D computer model or anything like that, but we do use computers quite extensively to process all the data, and there's a lot of course GPS data that we have as well.